This is Will's Band of the Week for June 3rd, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
And Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hello, here we are, Saturday night. Let's rock.
Wait a minute. He gave it up. We were going to make him guess.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So Nicholas is 15 hours ahead of us time on the timeline. So in the past, we've recorded at 4 p.m. our time, which is 7 in the morning the next day for Nicholas. But today the tables are turned.
Right.
It's 7 in the morning for us, and it's 10 p.m. for Nicholas. So he's on, like, it's been a wild party for the last several hours
right.
for Nicholas. And Barrett and I are drinking black coffee and trying to wake up.
Yeah.
So puts a little context. I was going to have the listeners guess, you know, who was recording at 7 in the morning, but Nicholas gave it up too quickly.
I blew it. Yep. I blew it right out of the gate.
Yep. First joke ruined. Well, not really a joke.
Yeah. You know, it is 7 in the morning, which is, you know, that's a record for us, right?
Yeah, I think we maybe
not
done it
before. Not for getting up, but for recording.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I came up to the house, and I was really quietly knocking on the door, like, just wanted.
Yeah, just tap. I heard Will. This tap on the door.
Wake
yeah.
up, Will, but not anybody else. I get in here, and like his son is up 7 yeah. in the morning.
Yeah,
his wife. There's coffee.
Yeah, they were making banana
animals
bread.
Animals running around, birds chirping. Yeah. pet birds are awake.
Yeah,
it's a beehive of activity here.
Yeah.
Very surprising. My house would be the opposite.
It's not usually this way here.
Okay,
but I think Jackson's on an unusual schedule, so he probably hasn't slept, is my guess.
Oh, really?
He'll, like, play video games all night and stuff.
Wow.
He'll be asleep at 3 in the afternoon. Yeah.
So he's kind of living on Melbourne time, too.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an international type guy. Yeah. Let's see. Anybody got a live report? I've got a live report. So I guess we gotta play this.
Do it.
It's worth it just to play the jingle, I think. So I went to see Jason's band, Red Pants.
Yeah.
It was his first gig in 5 years.
Wow.
And it was at this kind of fun DIY venue called Communication. And it's just basically like a garage that has a stage in it and nice sound setup, and it's all cool. So very fun.
Yeah.
And should I know who Jason is?
Jason's been a guest on the podcast, I think twice, and he's a listener of the podcast, and he's a former, he used to work at Barrett's Coffee Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And then he left to be a he does childcare.
He does. He's a full time.
Yeah, he's got a like a childcare.
That's
business.
A rough job.
Right? Yeah, yeah. He was telling me how it's like it can be hard to get away, and that's not just because of the job, but also because of he's got kids like about the same age as Nicholas's kids.
Yeah.
So so living the rock and roll lifestyle is a little difficult. But he's got a two-piece band with himself and a drummer, and they sounded great. When Red Pants tours Australia, I would recommend that you go see them, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that what they're called, Red Pants?
He didn't wear red pants. I guess he wasn't all in on the band name.
Right.
But that's cool.
Maybe that would be a little bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think so.
Can we find any of their music online?
Yeah, he's got a new album, but I think it's... See, I got the exclusive download of the new album because I'm a rock journalist.
Wow.
He's got a tape label called Painted Blonde. So you go to Painted Blonde, and then within Painted Blonde, he's got his Red Pants stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new album isn't officially out yet. But it sounds really good.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Very, very nice.
Everybody check it out.
Also, Jason's just the nicest person you could ever hope to meet.
He's a total quality guy.
Yeah.
And, I have a live preview. I bought a ticket for the Paul McCartney show.
You did?
Nice one.
Wow.
So they went on sale, eight or nine months ago? Yeah. More. Long time ago. And then, of course, it was immediately sold out. So this is a show at the Kohl Center, which is the basketball arena here in town. And the capacity for basketball, it's 17,000. So for a concert, it's probably something similar to that.
Right.
Maybe a little bit less. So the tickets went on sale. And then, of course, you click on the thing to buy tickets, and they're just gone immediately. And then the resale market immediately pops up, and it's like $500 for a ticket.
Right.
And for months, they were like $500. So I decided if they'd have to go way down. And so in the last couple of weeks, they were sinking to, below $150 at least.
Right.
That's a lot, but I thought, Paul McCartney, I want to see him once.
Yeah, totally.
So,
thinking about getting tickets for that, but... Wilson and I saw him at Summerfest about 2 years ago, and it was great. I think one thing that helped the ticket prices is the fact that he's also playing at Lambeau Field,
which is
a big football stadium. So, kind of relieved some of
the demand
pressure.
That makes sense, yeah. But arena rock is big enough for me. Stadium rock, I mean, wow, he'd look like an ant,
right? Exactly.
What if you were way back, a football field away, and then he had like a music stand in front of him? Like, that would be insulting.
That'd be pretty bad.
Right? Yeah, but I'm sure they have like the scoreboard. The screen of the scoreboard is showing it too, right?
So I would think so.
But I mean, it seems kind of lame to be watching the show on the scoreboard.
Right. Hopefully, you don't have to look in a different direction to see the scoreboard and the actual performer.
Right, right.
So it's not so obvious. You can kind of look like you're, pretend like you're watching it, actually watching it, but kind of sneakily just watching it on TV.
Yeah. So the ticket I got is kind of at an angle. It's a side view, but it might even be a little bit to the rear. So I'm going to be looking from almost behind him. So.
Yeah.
But whatever. He'll turn around and wave to me, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Feel a bit intimidated because, there's another bass player in the audience.
Right, exactly. He'll be thinking, well, my bass doesn't sound quite as cool as Will's bass.
Right.
When is that gig? When is Paul McCartney?
It is in 5 days. It's Thursday.
Oh, right.
Thursday
cool.
night. Yeah.
So maybe we'll hear about it on the next episode.
We will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I was saying to Barrett and Chris, I'm a little bit worried that it might not be good, but Barrett assures me that it will be.
Yeah, it'll be very good. There's, I have no doubt at all.
I mean, I did see 38 Special recently.
Right.
So, I mean, the standard is...
Dump that from your mind. You can't...
Okay.
You can't compare everything else to that. It's just not
true.
It's not fair to hold them up to that kind of standard.
True. But yeah.
On the unlikely, as unlikely as it is that Paul McCartney is listening to this podcast, if you are, I'm addressing you directly now, come to Indie Coffee. It's just like two and a half blocks away.
Yeah.
Free coffee with the purchase of a waffle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of something. Indie Coffee and the Kohl Center where Paul McCartney is playing, they're literally, a half mile or less apart?
Less, yeah.
It's literally like
up the street. Almost exactly in the middle between the football stadium and the basketball and hockey arena.
Yeah. So what would be the reason why Paul McCartney would not stop by at Indie Coffee before the show. You'd think he would just want to stop in.
You would think. I don't know. I mean, you were kind of running him down a little bit in your concert preview. Maybe that would make him angry and he wouldn't want to come out of spite.
Yeah, I really think that he should stop by. I mean, why not? He's coming into town. He's going to say, well, you know, I'm looking for an independent place, not a Starbucks, not a chain.
Right.
And somebody on his staff, one of those guys, like those Secret Service guys, they'll have walkie-talkies, and there'll be a guy with a suit on and a walkie-talkie in front of your store, and they'll be like, I think you might want to stop by this place called Indie Coffee.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I think it's possible.
We'll clear everybody out of there so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, brushing up against any, you know, strangers. Just be a totally controlled environment.
Do you think if your place was full, if you just announced, sorry, everybody, we got to clear it out because Paul McCartney's coming over. I'm sure they'd be cooperative, right?
Yeah, what would I do? I'd run and hide in the basement. And then when everybody else is gone, I'd come upstairs, like carrying a box of, you know, coffee lids or something, acting like I worked there. And then I'd see him.
All right. We'll give you an update next week. Probably him stopping at the coffee shop might even be a better report than the live report.
If that happens, we'll do a special jingle for that.
You're right. I'll make one. One other thing.
The waffle report, you can call it.
I do have a little bit of concern. And, okay, when I tell you that I'm not sure, I'm a little bit worried that it won't be good. I'm picturing the 15-minute version of Hey Jude, where they do the na-na-na-na thing for like 10 minutes, and then they're like, everybody wave your hands to the left and the right, you know? And I'm like, is that going to happen? I'm a little worried. They are going to wave their hands back and forth, right, when they're singing na-na-na-na.
I don't remember that, if they do that or not. They're definitely not going to do a full coda of that. But really, everything he's doing, you're going to be like, holy shit, that's the same guy that did this in 1968. And here I am, like,
yeah, well, that's
just gone one day at a time, you know?
Yeah.
All the way up until today. You won't be able to escape that feeling, so.
All right, I'm hopeful. All right, okay, we have one more thing. In the scheduling, we won't go into the very serious, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff of the podcast, but there was a, when we were trying to schedule when we could record this, Barrett had a little bit of a sports conflict. So I think we should probably talk about that. And to introduce that, I've got a special thing today.
Wow, I'm not even, okay, what do we got?
That's the sports jingle. What do you think?
Sports segment jingle. That's very nice.
Yeah.
That is exactly the type of a thing that you hear at a sporting event.
Yeah. And now,
everybody pumped up.
I kind of did a little pre-mix of it. So I just turned it on, and note how it's still in the background.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it kind of adds a little pep to our discussion.
Right. Wow. Right?
So like Barrett's got an appointment to watch like the big game today.
Yeah, there's a big soccer game, soccer football match, however you want to say it. That's at 2 in the afternoon. So when we were going to have Nicholas up early on Sunday morning, that was the plan. But I don't know. I didn't feel like I'd be in the mood after the match. You know, maybe I'd have a couple of beers, or maybe I'd be sad, or whatever.
You'd be in sports mode.
I'd be in sports mode. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the Champions League final between Liverpool and Tottenham. So, two English teams.
Yeah, and Tottenham is kind of the team that you follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Liverpool would be Paul McCartney's team.
That would be Paul McCartney's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that'll be fun. Speaking of sports, do you have to play the jingle again, or is that still?
I think it lasts for multiple reports.
Remember when we were talking with Anurag?
Yeah. And we insulted him. You insulted him.
I only did that because he didn't care at all, right?
Yeah.
Was he even he only seemed to be barely even aware
Oh, yeah. He
Toronto was in the playoffs.
Yeah, he said no. He said he didn't care like three times.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
So I'm not one that, you know, taunts fans of the other team. It's just not my style. But because he didn't care, I just, you know, made a couple of little cracks. Anyway, after that, Milwaukee didn't win any more games.
Yeah, Toronto won all the rest of them.
They weren't the rest of them.
So then he taunted us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of, we sort of, I think we made him into a little bit of a basketball fan.
It could
just
be.
Just
maybe he cares now.
Pride.
Yeah, and now Toronto's in the finals. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that happened. Sorry, Anurag. Taught me a lesson about taunting the other team. Came back to bite me.
It did. It did. Do we have any other preliminaries? I mean, we've got three bands to talk about. We could always do like a Rock and Apple thing or something, but then we'd probably be rambling on for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I do always like the Rock and Apple, but you're right. We've got a lot of music to share with our listeners.
Yeah. If we feel like we're not up to $0, we could do a Rock and Apple update later, I guess, right?
Right.
There's never been a podcast with Nicholas, though, where we didn't hit $0, right? That's inconceivable.
Right. There was. I think it was the third time he was on where we failed to
maybe that was it.
Get up to zero.
Yeah.
But all the other times, he has delivered.
I wonder how many appearances, how many times do you think you've been on the podcast, Nicholas? Like probably 20, 25?
That's a good question. I don't know. 6 or 8? Something like that, maybe?
Total? It's got to be like 20.
It'd probably be, you think it's 20?
Yeah. In like, what, 5 or 6 years? I don't know. 3 times a year for 5 years would be 15.
Wow.
I bet it's at least 15.
Yeah, but I guess there's... Yeah, I guess I've done it every year, like at the end of each year. So, yeah. That's probably more than I think. I probably should be better at this than I am.
Yeah.
I've done so many episodes. Jeez, what have I been doing? God. I've well exceeded my sort of, my trial period. Still waiting for you guys to sort of like just stop contacting me.
Well, you know, when we did, we had our last corporate meeting, and we were talking about all the, the future plans and upgrades. And,
right.
We've had a couple of the major studio upgrades. I think David's studio was the most recent to be upgraded. So I think you're about the year 2023, I believe we're anticipating upgrading the Melbourne studio.
That'd be great.
So, yeah, just got to hang on.
Just another few years.
Yeah. It's in the long-term plan.
I almost didn't find my my special, my little earbud headphones that plug into my mobile phone that has a microphone, that little plastic microphone rectangle that's on the cord.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I had the right headphones, and like 5 minutes before I was due to call in, I'm like, oh, these aren't the right headphones, so. So we were all scrambling around the house. Oh, check the top shelf over there. I was looking in bags and finally found them like under some piece of paper on a desk. And it's like, oh, it would have been a disaster. So I think the sooner we get this studio upgraded, the better. Because next time I might not be able to find that random pair of headphones that's supposed to be sitting in the right spot.
that was a compelling argument for the $100,000 upgrade, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's start rocking. Olden Yoke. There's a band called Olden Yoke, and we talked about them a year or two ago. And this is a Brooklyn band, right? I think.
I don't even know.
I think it's New York based.
It's the singer. It's the main guy from Quilt, isn't it? Is that the kind of connection to Quilt? The guy Shane. He's the dude that's in Quilt, is that right?
Shane Butler, yes, he is also in Quilt. And then the second, full-time member of Olden Yoke is Katie Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that she's in some other band that we talk about.
Right, I think you're right, yep. And I assume, so it's like two people, but it sounds like a full band, so... if they play live,
I think they write the songs and sing, and then I think that when they record their albums, they get, three or four other guys to come and play play bass and drums and stuff like that.
So what I remember about the last album was that it was very, like a dry recording, kind of on purpose, like it was recorded in a soundproof, dead sound room, and it was kind of cool in that way, actually. But this album sounds a lot different, sounds a lot more full and kind of lush, and it's a cool sound. And I think Barrett might have listened to this one more than the others, so maybe we should have Barrett make the first pick.
Sure. I'm going to go with, it's kind of a tough choice, but number 8 is one that I like.
That one's called Grand Palais. Golden Yoke. The album is called Living Theater.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the catchier ones.
Yep. Some of them are more.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to pick as my like top choice as well. So we share that taste, little bit of taste there.
All right.
Aaron?
Wow, that's pretty good. We're on a roll with. I think last week I was picking the same. Craig and I had the same 1 and 2 first and second choices. From an album.
Yeah.
So it just means we're correct in our choices.
It does.
Right?
We're correct, yeah. I kind of like that one. I thought it was sort of, groovy, kind of quietly glorious, a little bit ornate and elegant, but some nice little kind of Velvet Underground-y kind of little guitar licks in there as well.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think the album has a, sort of a 60s sound to it. In a lot of places,
yeah.
That it's. I was thinking that maybe Craig would like this because I think there's a similarity with the proper ornaments, kind of in the songwriting style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are a few that I could go with here. So I think we should let Nicholas take the next one, and then I'll do mop up duty.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Should we go for like one that's like a bit of their sort of classic sound, or do you want the one that's a bit slower and warmer? One with some nice bleeps at the start?
Whatever you would like the listeners to hear, and that's part of the power of being a podcaster.
Yeah. Let's go with track 2, Blue Paradigm. And I guess I'll just put this question to people. Which is the thing that I kind of loved about this album really, is like, as I'm listening to it, I just kind of think to myself, in which world was this music created? Because it kind of feels to me like it's just really hard to kind of imagine that it's kind of like, almost, like you were mentioning that it's kind of got a bit of a 60s kind of vibe, but it's just, just sort of feels like it's kind of somehow come from another world. I don't know if that kind of makes any sense, but it feels like it's very sort of like not of this world and not of this time, but really cool. So anyway, have a think about that while we listen to track two, Blue Paradigm.
Catchy one.
Yeah, I had a hard time. Initially, I didn't really care for the album because it's like, or just their sound in general. I didn't really like the last one. I tend to want to put things into a category, right? And be like, this sounds a bit like this or this. And I couldn't get a handle on this at all. Its charms were kind of elusive. But I did end up liking it quite a bit. And that song's a good example. It's, I don't know. I mean, the word meandering has kind of a, you know, pejorative connotation. I don't mean it that way, but it's just kind of floating around and, sort of meandering to me. The whole thing is that way, but in a pleasant way.
I think some of the slower tracks I didn't connect with as much, but the I actually really like the first three tracks a lot. I think it's really what they do best. It's a full sound and it's catchy and cool. And I was pretty close to playing track one, but let's let the listeners, when you sample it, you'll play track one and it's great. But I'll go with number three, Cotton and Cane.
I'm not sure if you know what it does to me now. I've had to live on my own, had to leave with the sound of my voice. Your lessons all I'm dead to me now. Pages have ripped, but the truth always stays the same. When the debts come, when the debts come, when the debts come, when the debts come. And I know how your man was no good to you, how Delta was rough and Jackson thought you were strange. Your mother was killed in a crash, band moved away, 23 and 68. Joan of Arc was her name and her eyes were the arms you gave. Oh,
That's Olden Yoke.
Yeah. That one sounds a little bit like the Sea and Cake. Remember that band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't listen to them that much, but it sounds right, what you're saying.
I really love this album. I listened to it a lot, actually. I probably listened to it more than their previous album, which actually the three of us talked about at the start of last year. Didn't realize feels like it was longer ago. But I listened to it a lot, and it only goes for like 34 minutes. And I kind of know what you're talking about, Barrett, and I think that's one of the things that I like about it. It is kind of hard to sort of orient yourself. It's almost like, you know, if you're like flicking around different stations on the television, and like, you know, you'll flick on some sort of like foreign film that started, you know, you missed the first 20 minutes and but you kind of like keep watching this film and you don't really kind of know what's going on, but you sort of like it anyway. It is kind of hard to, I guess that's where I was kind of coming from with that question of like in what world was this kind of created? Because it feels like it's not from anything that's kind of like here now,
right.
but it's always kind of catchy and sort of friendly, and sort of it's got a sort of a joyfulness in its sound that I really sort of liked.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Kind of like if you were it's almost like you've woken up in sort of some weird dream, and you've sort of like stumbled out of your front door and you're in your dressing gown, and you know, you've kind of like wandered into the local park and there's like a bunch of hobos, you know, sort of like dancing around a fire, and they've got bubbles coming out of their pipes, and this is the music that's playing. Does that
sums it up pretty well? Yeah. Yep. That paints a picture.
I definitely can't give a better picture of myself. All right.
But somehow that kind of scene makes sense with this music, and I just kind of liked it. Yeah.
Olden Yoke, the American band that we're featuring this week. Now, of course, we've got the Melbourne Bureau here, so we got to take it to Melbourne, right? So let's do that. We had a Melbourne band that didn't make the cut because Nicholas said no, not good enough. So, but we might revisit them at some point. We'll see.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about Alex Leahy? There's been some indie rock press about her, and she's an Australian person. What do we know about her? Has anybody done extensive music journalism on Alex Leahy?
You
go, Barrett.
I was just going to ask if she's over at your house right now.
She just left, actually. She needed a vacuum cleaner, and we've got two vacuum cleaners. So I said, look, Alex, you can just keep that one.
Wow.
So she was happy with that. And I asked her what her age was as she left. I said, Alex, how old are you, by the way? She said, she's 26.
All right. Good.
That's good.
So she, I knew a little bit of her music from her last album, which was her debut album, which was from 2017. So, I had heard some of her previous songs, but it was good to have a chance to sort of like listen to this album quite a bit. Yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
So I'll just say a bunch of stuff, and then we'll start playing the music, and it'll prove me wrong, right? Like we always do.
Right.
So I thought it sounded like a little bit poppier version of the Beths. It's a little bit like the Beths, I think. A little bit in the power pop. But it's more on to the poppy side of it. And I made some notes about some of the tracks. And a couple of them I called pop songs. And then there was a ballad. And then there was an indie rock ditty. And then there was an easygoing mid-tempo song.
Wow. Now,
what do you think? What do you think? And, you know, I kind of like it. It's a little bit to the pop side for what I generally listen to. But it's kind of, I think of it as like, if this is how, you know, pop music, the charts or whatever, it would be so much cooler if they had this instead of some of the stuff that they have.
Right.
You know, like maybe this could bridge the gap, like Anurag's daughter maybe could like this. How's that for a test?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So there, I said everything. Should we just move on to the next band now?
Yep. Wait, maybe we should play some of the music.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we usually do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take the first pick on this one.
Well, let's see. Nicholas has to have the first pick on the next one, So I guess I'll take this one. But that's bad because I don't know what to pick. you know, the obvious thing would be to go with one of the pop hit type songs. But you know what? I'm gonna be radical. I think that the ballad in the middle of the album is really good. Number 5. That's Unspoken History.
We have an unspoken history we don't want. Wanna let it go, but for reasons I don't know I can't. We used to have it so together, we couldn't be undone. We used to do it till it wasn't fun. I got tired of feeling that you weren't the same. Couldn't understand why you weren't the one to blame. We used to be unbeatable. You used to be my saint. Now I feel that it might be too late. I don't want you to go. But you, with everything on your mind, we ended up perforated. I was just a kid. Tell me if it's something that I did. I don't want you to go.
Alex Leahy.
Yeah, that was my first pick too. As far as, you know, I didn't always really connect that much with the general sound and the music of this album. And at first I was kind of writing it off and I thought I wouldn't really listen to it very much. But this song demonstrates it. She's got such an emotional directness, mm-hmm, about all of her songs. You know, she's there's nothing coy. There's no, you know, she'll just... The song is about, I'm sad about this thing happening, and I went to my therapist, and it's all out there. She's very authentic sounding as a person, and I thought in a really very, very appealing way. So that's what I liked about it the best.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of went through some different phases in the last few days with this album. At first, I really liked it, and I was kind of surprised that you suggested it, actually, Will, because I thought it had a really kind of different sound than maybe we'll listen to one of the more kind of rockin' tracks, and I thought it had quite a different sound than most of the stuff that you're kind of into.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of liked it for that reason at the start, and then I kind of like, after I listened to it a few times, I was like, oh, actually, maybe I don't actually like this as much as I thought that I did. And then when I was going through the tracks again, just you know, tonight, and listening to them a little bit more closely, I was like, oh, actually, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was. So I've sort of liked it, didn't like it. Now I'm kind of back to liking it. So there you go.
It's a complex album.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's complex, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just jump in and choose a song?
Yeah, do that.
Why don't we listen to track 3? This one rocks pretty hard. This would be awesome to hear live. It's called Interior Demeanor.
Says I'm a rescuer, an empathetic victim, but taking on my partner's shit, cause I sit there and listen. I tend to ignore warning signs cause I don't wanna see them, and she says that's because of my interior demeanor. I
I thought that that one maybe had almost like a mid-90s kind of, almost like the Breeders kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got kind of an anthemic sound to it.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, that's kind of the one I was referencing. This is, you know, about like seeing your therapist and stuff. And it's just so direct. I can see certain people just really kind of connecting with the themes and messages in these songs, you know. Maybe someone about her age, or younger, especially. I don't know. Maybe that's a reach, but it just feels like some people would listen to this and maybe hadn't heard things so emotionally bare and direct as this very often. And because I don't hear it that often, so.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably true. And through my work, I get to listen to music with young people, and that was kind of how I first heard about Alex Leahy. Sometime last year, was a young person playing me some of her songs that she really liked. And this is a young person who's probably about 19 or something like that. So I think that you're probably exactly right in that. People kind of in their 20s or earlier than that, younger than that, would probably get a lot out of what she's writing about in her songs. Yeah, so maybe I'm just a little bit too old. I kind of feel like she probably suffered in this episode, because who we're going to talk about next, I kind of feel sort of blows her out of the water a bit.
And ooh, there's a preview.
I'll make this one comment, and you tell me whether I'm being a bit of a prick or not. sometimes I think with some music that's fine, I kind of have a problem if there's nothing like there's nothing wrong with Alex Leahy's music, and that's the thing that I find like slightly. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, so it kind of makes it, you know, that's the problem that I have with it. Does
too,
that make sense?
It's, like too, you know, clean and polished or something like that.
Something like that. It's something just a little bit, it's got to have just something about it that makes it, I don't even know what it is, but it's kind of like when I hear something that kind of sounds like this, oh, there's nothing wrong with that, it's totally fine, it's a little bit too fine.
Yeah.
So that's my slightly unfair comment towards this album. It's there's nothing wrong with it.
All right. The album is called The Best of Luck Club. Can't remember if I mentioned that already. So does Barrett have a pick?
I think the catchiest one is called Isabella.
Bella, don't run out on me. Bella is a Bella reaching every
Yeah, that was a good pick.
I like the rising part of that chorus. That's my favorite part of the album. And I like it more than Nicholas does, but I don't know that I'm going to listen to it anymore after, you know, after today.
Well, I clearly like it the most of the three of us. And to underscore that, I'm looking at the track listing. There are three other tracks that I could have played that I thought would be worthy. So,
yeah.
Well, it must mean that I'm the most like spiritually young of the three
that
of us.
Must be
even
right.
I'm physically
chronologically
the oldest,
yeah. Spiritually the youngest.
Yeah, I can relate to the young people better than you guys, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just old. Nicholas and I are just two old men, like yelling at the kids to get off the lawn.
Right,
you know?
Crotchety.
Yeah.
A couple of hobos out in the park blowing bubbles with our bubble pipes, listening to Olden Yolk.
All right. We've got another one. Nicholas has already built this one up. But okay, so Nicholas told me about this. I'd never heard of this artist. And, you know, he's just like, check it out. And I put it on and I just thought, you listen to this whole album and you're like, wow. It's completely unpredictable from song to song, and I think Barrett should listen to this. We're going to see if we can make you interested in listening to this.
I have not heard a note of it.
Yeah, so this is he's the straight man now. So, Nicholas, take it away on Laura Imbruglia.
Laura Imbruglia, who is Australian, and she's 35 years old. She comes from the Central Coast, which is sort of in New South Wales, so further north than Melbourne. She lives here in Melbourne. This is her first album after a five-year break. And I actually sent Laura a message on Facebook, and I basically told her that I had fallen in love with her album. And I'm only disappointed that I only just started listening to this because about 2 weeks ago they did like an album launch at like a really cool little indie rock venue here in Melbourne. So I'm a bit annoyed at myself that I didn't, you know, get myself down to see them like on a Thursday night when I could have gone. So hopefully they'll play in Melbourne soon, because listening to this album, I'm like, oh man, this is a awesome band, and these guys sound incredible. The way that this was recorded, props to the producer, Nick Huggins. I don't know him, but he's like a local producer who's worked with people like Mick Turner from the Dirty Three and Bonnie Prince Billy. But I just reckon this album just is so great on lots of levels. I think the songwriting is fantastic, and you're talking about the songwriting of Alex Leahy. Well, I reckon if you kind of like that at all, Barrett, I reckon this one by Laura Imbruglia, I just think that it's fantastic, and I'm trying to get a sense of how kind of big she is. As I've sort of talked to you before about some artists, when I'm listening to their albums, I'm like, oh, do hundreds of thousands of people into this person, or is it just like, you know, 50 people? She's certainly got a bit of a name for herself, but she's not playing huge venues. But I think we should just listen to some of her, this amazing album. So what should we start with? Oh, my God, what should we start with? Let's start with this one. I'm trying to think of something funny to say about this song title. Maybe if Paul McCartney did happen to stop by for your waffles, Barrett, and you were hiding in the basement, and then you sort of like wandered past, the title of this song might be something that you might say because you thought it was funny. But it would actually be the thing that got you, you know, thrown out of your own cafe by Macca's bodyguard. This is track 4. It's called Your Shit. Murder.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I hope I wouldn't say that if I got my big chance to say something to him.
Yeah, you'd probably regret it.
I'd be like,
damn, I blew that one. Like,
yeah. Because that's not what I would mean. I don't know why. But yeah, Nicholas did paint a picture there.
So I think that song was a minute 34. I think we should have a new rule. If an artist has a song that's under 2 minutes, we consider that license to play the whole song.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
So I think I was mentioning to Nicholas earlier this week that the funny thing to me about this album is it sounds both like AC/DC and Courtney Barnett. And how many artists can you say that about?
Not very many.
And it was only accidental that I was comparing her to Australians, but maybe the Courtney Barnett comes from the, you know, the vocal delivery.
Right.
But if you'll give me the liberty, I want to demonstrate this because I think it actually is a true comparison. So we're going to start with the AC/DC track. You have to be not thinking of the vocals, but so in your mind, substitute Bon Scott for the vocals, okay? this is number two, The Creeps. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Some of that riffing in there, you know, the power chords are AC/DC, and then there's that little riff thing that the guy does.
Right.
Or woman. I don't know who's playing the guitar, but yeah.
I think Laura plays rhythm guitar, and she's got like a guy playing lead guitar. And from some live clips that I saw, it looks like they've got a female bass player and a guy on drums. Cool. And I know I'm just starting. I'm just talking over you guys. I haven't even let you say much, but I think you're right about the AC/DC thing. But I think she kind of pulls it off.
Oh yeah.
On that track, and I think it's almost sort of dangerous territory for an Australian rock band to sound anything like AC/DC, and if you can get away with it in a sort of somehow authentic way, like Laura does in that, I think that's props to her. But one of the things that I want to sort of jump in and mention is that like the album kind of starts off with like four sort of pretty hard rocking songs like those first two we've just listened to, but then it takes a really different direction. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't like people to get the impression that, oh, okay, this is like kind of an Aussie kind of pub rock chick, you know, who's doing this hard rock stuff, and we're gonna get some of this, yeah mate. But actually, some of it's like that, but not all of it's like that. And I think that's, for me, where some of the kind of depth in her as an artist has come through in how different some of the other tracks are. And so maybe can we just go into, after getting a bit of like full on rock then, can we just go straight into track 5, which is called Diptych? I don't know why it's called that, but it's kind of an example of where the album changes direction.
Looked it up. Diptych. This is the definition. A painting, especially an altarpiece, on two hinged wooden panels which may be closed like a book. There you go. That's what a diptych is.
Wow. Now it's all clear, the meaning of the song.
Yep. Yeah, so that doesn't sound like AC/DC, but that also doesn't sound like Courtney Barnett. So I have to justify my comparison. There are a couple of that sort of genre. So let's play a little bit of the next one, CBT.
Telly, everybody loves.
That's Laura Imbruglia with the new album called Scared of You. And Barrett just found a review. What does that say, Barrett? I saw the references there.
Yeah, it's on a website called Your Music Radar, and they review the album. Give it 4 out of 5 stars. Pretty good. Anyway, they talk about the song The Creep. Here it says, The Creep sounds like a fused combination of Courtney Barnett and AC/DC.
And I did not read that.
You've been validated.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Because I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But now at least two people think that. No, I didn't really think that. I thought that was a very accurate thing. But it's always nice when your opinions are backed up by somebody that's maybe even given money to write something.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody gave me any money to say that.
Right.
We don't know if Nicholas might have gotten money. When she stopped over for the cookout earlier, she might have slipped him $100 or something.
Right.
Right.
Well, I did ask Laura politely if she wanted to record a little ID on her phone and send it to us. So hasn't come through yet, but maybe if it does, listeners might hear it either this episode or a future one, or maybe she'll never write back. Who knows? But I feel a little bit like, you know, like our oldest son Fox is 6, and sometimes when he's not getting the thing that he wants, he'll scream at us as he stands in the middle of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am standing in the middle of the kitchen, but the kitchen is the sort of music world, and I'm just screaming to everyone, it's really, really good. This album is really, really good. You've really got to listen to it. You've really got to listen to the lyrics, and you've got to listen to all of the songs. You've got to listen to them lots of times because the guitar's really good and the drums are really good and the backing vocals on the second half of that track is really good, and there's a really cool song at the end that's really different to all the other songs. It's really, really good, and don't think that anything else is better because this is the best, and I don't want to hear anyone say anything bad about this because I love Laura and Bruglia's album, and that's that.
Yeah. What if I had said it's just this is terrible? You would have been disappointed, right?
He would have been angry.
Yeah.
I would have been questioning myself, questioning all sorts of things, but then I probably would have listened to it again and just thought, nah,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. So
no, I like
I
it
can
a lot.
Only
yeah.
implore any listener to check this album out more, because it's I realize that even just as we're recording this, and we've played 4 tracks, which is great, and I really love that you chose that song CBT, because that was another one that I liked, and it's got some great lyrics in it. It was talking about how, I don't know if you caught it, one of the lines is like, how does Brian Eno learn to self-improve? And she was talking about herself being cis middle class and white, and cis is the opposite of transgender. So it's when you identify with the gender that you've been born with. So if you were born a man and you identify as a man, that means you're cis. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of just talking about herself in these very sort of matter of fact kind of ways. And I love all that, but I love the band that she's put together. I think it's the way that it's recorded. It sounds like they're just playing really loudly. You know, it's got a really kind of a really warm, loud, live kind of feel to it. But they're great players in this band. So that's, I guess, for me, what sort of like takes this up like a number of notches. It's not just a great voice, not just great songs, but great playing, great production. The way it's all kind of come together is really, for me, just really satisfying. And there was a quote from Laura that, on an interview, and it said, it wasn't all that fun to write these songs, but it sure was fun to play them. And for me, that kind of makes a lot of sense, because you can hear that she's really sort of like put her own life and experiences into these songs, and there's a lot of anger and stuff like that in some of these songs, and heartbreak. But it's also kind of this fun sort of rock energy that's that I just really like. So as you can tell, I really like this album. It's probably going to be in my top 10 easily, I would say.
Probably. Yeah. What could cause this to fall out? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it'd be pretty tough. Be pretty hard. Yeah.
Who knows?
But there's
Ask
even
me another month, and, you know, we'll see. I seem to jump around a lot in terms of things that I like, but this is certainly been something that I've really enjoyed sinking my teeth into.
There's more diversity in the album than we've exposed too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like the first track has kind of a ska beat to it, and there's just all kinds of interesting turns on it. So
yeah. Deceptively melodic is another thing that I would put, even though it's kind of got this sort of like pub rock kind of like, you know, meatiness to it. Her melodies and some of the backing harmonies and stuff like that are just beautiful. So yeah.
And this
a lot to take in.
This hasn't been getting any United States rock press. So
no,
we gotta get that over here.
Right.
So I could see her doing an Australian tour and then and doing great, you know. And then but we gotta get the word out here in the US. So
she's just kind of finished an Australian tour in most capital cities and that sort of thing. But here in Melbourne, you know, she played a pretty modest venue, not a huge one. So, but she's certainly known, and I think this is actually her like fourth album. She's been making music for quite a while, and she's produced a TV show here in Australia as well. Sort of a web series called, if you look her up, you can check it out. It's called Amateur Hour, which is kind of a music variety sort of show that's quite, I've only just sort of dipped into it, but looks kind of interesting. So she doesn't just do music. She's done other stuff as well. So yeah, she's sort of known in different areas, I guess, music and TV and stuff like that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I really think we're greater than $0 right now.
We are.
Yeah.
There's one thing I did want Nicholas to mention or to talk about. When I was researching some of these bands, the Australian radio station Triple J came up.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up, and they have an app, and it's just kind of cool that, you know, in this day and age, you can listen to a radio station from Melbourne, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And, so I asked Nicholas if that was a good station, and he had a different recommendation. He, you know, maybe he used to like Triple J and not so much anymore. But so can you tell us a little bit about the second station that you...
Sure, yeah. I mean, Triple J, it's been going for probably 30 years now, and they still sort of promote themselves. I don't know if they still promote themselves as being the youth sort of station. I mean, they're basically sort of an alternative music station, and certainly a lot of the bands that it's a national station. You can hear it all around Australia, but probably mainly broadcast out of Melbourne and Sydney. And yeah, so a lot of the bands that we talk about on this podcast would be played at times on Triple J. But they've kind of, I guess, like a lot of things, they kind of change a lot. So, you know, like 20 years ago, I listened to Triple J a lot, but I don't listen to them so much anymore because, I don't know, I just kind of like outgrew them, I suppose. But I guess an artist like Alex Leahy, who we were listening to just before, that's probably a good example of an artist that, you know, Triple J would really embrace, and I think she actually won some awards on Triple J, and you know they probably feature her in the studio, and you know it's probably like I said, an example of you know, some Australian indie rock or alternative rock that they would sort of champion, but they also play a lot of, you know, hip hop and other stuff. So I'm not really so much into Triple J, but if you compared it to, you know, normal like commercial radio stations or, you know, classic rock stations, there's certainly a lot more on Triple J music wise that would appeal to me and you guys and probably many of our listeners. But I've mentioned the more local radio station, a community radio station here in Melbourne called PBS FM. Who have been going since the 70s, PBS 106.7 FM, who you can also, they've got a great website and you can stream them live just through the internet, but they've also got an archive of basically all the different programs that are featured. And I guess the thing that I like more about PBS is that they basically have a whole lot of specialist music shows. So there'll be like a show every Monday that just plays Melbourne indie rock stuff. but then there'll be another show that just plays blues music, or another show that just plays like progressive heavy metal, or another show that plays just dub reggae, stuff like that. So, you know, if you're really into music, and music that you often don't hear on other radio stations, PBS is the one to listen to. And if you kind of do a little bit of searching around, you'll find, oh, right, cool, there's this great show every Friday, and I can listen to the last 6 months worth of, you know, all those shows, and just listen to it from the PBS website. So that's the station that I listen to all the time, just because the people who do the shows are all volunteers, and kind of like us, they're just into music, and they find music that you don't necessarily hear in other places, and particularly on radio. So if you're looking for a Melbourne radio station to tune into on the internet, PBS 106.7 FM would be the one that I would recommend. But certainly check out Triple J as well. Yeah, so does that kind of like paint a bit of a picture?
Absolutely.
In terms of radio?
It sounded like you were talking about 105.7 WAPL.
Yeah, okay.
Out Rock of and Appleton, Apple. Wisconsin. But yeah. They're similarly, you know, they'll play some things that you haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Indie, a lot of indie rock, as you mentioned, some special dub reggae shows. Very, very similar in that way.
Mm. Yeah.
they just love music when every time they put on that Van Halen track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of indie
some
rock you're talking about?
Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
maybe a little bit more independent than some of those bands. Yeah. Bah, bah, bah. I was going to say something else really great then, but I can't remember what it was. So who cares?
Yes. Well, Barrett kind of, I think he, have you ever heard the phrase, opened the door? I think Barrett.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
I opened the door.
I think Barrett just opened the door.
What does that, I don't know.
It's time for the
Rockin' Apple Update.
I just checked, and you know, one of the songs that they played of the last five is probably worth playing. So the guy sitting at the desk there at the Rockin' Apple, he's just got a pure love of music, and he said, "I'm going to put on Iron Man."
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I remember when I, like, I don't, yeah.
When I was a kid, I was scared of that when he would say, "I am Iron Man." I thought, whoa, that is scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You can listen to it now and not feel nervous.
No, I'm okay now. It's still kind of exciting, though.
Yeah. I would say it's unbelievable that they played that, but in fact, it is so believable.
They played. Right. They also
nothing
played.
Has been more believable.
They played "Sweet Child of Mine" by Guns N' Roses. "Gimme Three Steps" by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Oh my God! "White Snake," "Here I Go Again." That's really bad. And then, the song "All Right Now" by Free. Remember Free? They had that was the singer for Bad Company, right? Paul Rogers?
Was it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Gotta have your classic rock cred. So, there you go, Rockin' Apple Update. We did it. All right, now we're way above $0.
It's quite funny, isn't it? These sort of like classic stations that like last week and I was in this situation where for a few hours I was forced to listen to kind of the equivalent station here in Melbourne called Gold FM. Okay, that just plays like, you know, well, like when I used to listen to it in the 80s. Okay, they would play the Beatles. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But now that it's the new millennium, when they play music on this Gold FM, it's all stuff from the 80s. So they'll play like Culture Club and everything just seemed to be songs that I grew up with when I was either in primary school or in high school, and it's kind of really weird. I just find it weird that there's these stations that basically play hits from the 80s, and then like there'll be one song from the 90s, and then one song from like 2005.
Yeah,
I just find it kind of weird.
You got to stay like two or three decades behind at all times. Yeah, I got to go let the dog out. Hold on. You guys can keep talking.
All right. One thing.
Barrett, the other thing I was going to say when we're talking about radio stations is that Melbourne is sort of we're sort of spoiled for great community radio stations and a lot of sort of music based community radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in other countries and even other cities in Australia, there just aren't these stations that you can necessarily tune into. So, we're lucky in Melbourne, not only for the kind of live music scene, but also the music that gets played on the radio.
Right.
You know, basically by these sort of community-based, music stations. Yeah. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Will is back, but Nicholas, once he hears the stuff that you said about him behind his back,
mm-hmm. So he'll never hear it though. He doesn't know. That's the advantage of talking behind somebody's back, right? Because nobody can hear behind your back. You can't hear anything.
Right. Because your ears are oriented
right
to
toward
the front.
Yeah. Yep. All right. It's closing in on midnight for Nicholas and, well, Baird and I are still awake. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, guys. Thank you for getting up early.
I have a new appreciation for the way that you usually do it, which is you're getting up at 7 o'clock. So.
Yep.
Well, it just gives it a different vibe. But like, this is now the second time I've done this at night time. But I think I'm a bit more mellow. Might not seem like it now, but I think generally at night time, you've had the whole day, you're kind of winding down, you're a bit more mellow. Whereas in the morning, you've got the coffee flowing, and you're pow pow pow. smash into the day, and you can smash into the podcast. So. I feel you've got a bit of a different vibe, different sort of delivery, depending on whether you're recording the podcast at like 10 at night or 7 in the morning. So,
I don't think I have quite the morning energy level that Nicholas has.
No, neither of us has. The biggest factor, I think, we usually record at night, and then there's some alcohol involved,
mm-hmm.
which,
at least we have a beer or a glass of whiskey something.
Yeah, it's just like not like drinking all day or anything, but just having a glass of whiskey or a beer.
Yeah.
Makes us much funnier.
Yeah, a lot funnier. That's why we're not funny at all today. Only under the influence of coffee. Yep. Okay. We should sign off. Thanks again, Nicholas. Come on again soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you for having me. Good to talk to you, and nice to talk to you, Barrett. It's been a while since we've been on the podcast together.
Long.
All right, we'll talk to everybody again next week with yet another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Adios.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.